Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Pediapod for August 2022. In this episode, we look at placental transfusion during neonatal resuscitation in a preterm animal model. For depressed preterm neonates, initiating positive pressure ventilation is the most important factor in facilitating transition. Studies have shown that preterm neonates who do not achieve higher than 80% oxygen saturation are at higher risk of IVH and death. Therefore, the recommendation for depressed neonates is to immediately cut the umbilical cord and begin resuscitation. However, many studies have shown that delaying the clamping of the umbilical cord also benefits preterm infants by increasing a neonate's blood volume, oxygenation, and circulatory stabilization, thus aiding transition. Clinicians, therefore, are keen to avoid delays in ventilation with simultaneous placental transfusion, but what's not yet clear is how best to achieve that. In this episode, we meet early career investigator Praveen Chandrasekaran from the State University of New York. He used an asphyxiated preterm ovine model to ascertain the best practice of placental transfusion in a depressed neonate requiring resuscitation. Here he is.
My name is Praveen Chandrasekaran. I'm one of the neonatologists and also the Associate Professor of Pediatrics at the State University of New York. I was born and raised in Chennai. I did my medical school back in the southern part of India and transitioned to the United States to pursue a residency in pediatrics and subsequently neonatology fellowship at the State University of New York at Buffalo System. So my interest in pursuing a neonatology fellowship came after witnessing firsthand birth asphyxia in neonates in my medical school and subsequently during my internship. And then the subsequent interest was fueled by the birth of my first son, who came in early. As of now, in infants who are born depressed, there are no consensus or recommendation as to what we do with the umbilical cord management.
So you've got lived personal experience of this clinical conundrum.
Yeah, fortunately, my son was not as depressed as other infants born are, so he did get both delayed cord clamping and umbilical cord milking.
Maybe a good place to start is just a bit of the theory around milking and clamping. Like, what does placental transfusion do for a neonate going through that difficult transition?
Preterm babies are born with immature lungs. And so the benefit comes from that additional blood that goes in the last minute, which provides valuable hemoglobin that not only helps during the transition by keeping the blood flow glowing to the lungs when a baby is depressed and can't breathe, but also prevents brain bleeds as well as improves the overall hematocrit status, thus preventing anemia in a preterm infant. Many studies have shown that if you delay the clamping of the umbilical cord, there are umpteen number of benefits for preterm infants. While a recent study has shown that close to 50% of preterm neonates are born with a heart rate of less than 100 beats per minute, in these depressed neonates, the recommendation is to immediately cut the umbilical cord and begin resuscitation. So the goal of my research is to find out if either the delayed cord clamping or cord milking, where you milk the cord quickly so that you can push as much as blood into the baby before clamping the cord with and without providing ventilation, can be beneficial in preterm neonates. So essentially, this is just one step to find out which intervention is better over another. And since these studies are difficult to perform in actual neonates, it is helpful to get data from transitional studies.
And so specifically then, you're trying to understand the role of cord clamping and cord milking in this animal model, because we're still not sure what order to do these things in humans.
So yes, what we have done is an experimental model. Studies have shown that getting the saturations up by 80% by 5 minutes and a target heart rate of 100 beats per minute by 5 minutes improves the outcome in preterm neonates. And if you don't achieve that, they are very high risk of mortality and other morbidities such as intraventricular hemorrhage. So we reduced the heart rate down to 90 and we ventilated the lambs with the cord intact for 5 minutes, which is called the delayed cord clamping with ventilation group. And in the other group, one was a milking where we milked the umbilical cord 4 times by stripping it and allowing to refill when the umbilical cord was intact with the placenta and the fetus. In one group, we never ventilated, and in another group, we ventilated. The reason for ventilation is that clinical studies have shown when you milk without ventilation, there is fluctuations to the blood flow to the brain, and this may be detrimental. So in a depressed model, this could be even more because they don't have any regulation of the blood flow. So what we did was we ventilated on for that 40 seconds and we were trying to milk. And that milking led to decreased fluctuations in blood flow to the brain. And that has been highlighted in the paper. So we compared this to the standard intervention where you just clamp the cord and then you ventilate. And we found that each group had different advantage over the other.
Great. Well, let's hear your results then. Perhaps we should start with just the level of placental transfusion through those different techniques.
So we found that when you milk the cord by stripping the umbilical cord 4 times in a matter of 40 seconds, along with ventilation, you had the highest placental transfusion in this group compared to the rest, and this was significantly higher. The delayed cord clamping with ventilation led to better ventilation and improved blood flow to the lungs, without improving the placental transfusion as measured by the red cell volume. So it does provide evidence for the fact for future studies that umbilical cord milking with ventilation in a depressed neonate could be beneficial.
So are you saying that the delayed cord clamping with ventilation and the umbilical cord milking with ventilation both have their different benefits?
Exactly, they do have. So the primary driver here is a ventilation, which all the resuscitation bodies concerned with neonatology emphasizes on. So it's primarily important to start with the ventilation and decide on the intervention based on the state of the neonate.
Do you think there's a need to update the rules around resuscitation, or do you think it's too early to say?
The Resuscitation Foundation or the resuscitation bodies have always updated the resuscitation recommendations every 5 years. So the ILCOR, which is the International Liaison Committee on Resuscitation, and the American Academy of Pediatrics Neonatal Resuscitation Program, as well as the European Resuscitation Council, as well as the American and New Zealand Council, they are always looking for evidence-based recommendations. So every 5 years, they do get updated based on the available evidence. Now, translational evidence obtained from animals may not be the highest quality of evidence because there are obvious limitations based on species and control setting, but it kind of forms a basis for doing optimized clinical research work. So there's always room to improve, and there's always newer research that enhances the recommendations right now. So definitely the answer for your question is yes, there's always room for improvement.
What do you think will be your next pursuit then? Will you continue working with these ovine models, or do you think there is enough evidence to take some of these translational questions to the clinic?
There are a lot of questions still left. For example, we are looking at the effect of oxygen interaction when we ventilate, because like I emphasized that you start resuscitation with ventilation, but the million-dollar question still, what is the best supplemental oxygen when you start resuscitating a preterm neonate? And that has the evidence swinging the pendulum both ways, whether you should use lower oxygen concentration or higher oxygen concentration. So we have some preliminary data that supports that regardless of what oxygen concentration you use, when you do ventilation with a delayed cot clamping, it seems to ameliorate the effect of oxygen exposure. Now, how much that has toxicity on the infant have to be seen at the level of lungs, as well as the brain and other parts of the body. Now, experts are always against the fact that don't use higher oxygen concentration, because even a brief exposure to high oxygen concentration can impact a neonate which is not equipped to handle higher oxygen concentration and can lead to toxicity. So that's our next step. We have some interesting data that we have collected. And after that, the next step is to see how long are we able to ventilate a preterm ovine model while they're connected to the umbilical cord. So that data will hopefully be presented in the upcoming research session soon.
That was Praveen Chandrasekaran from the State University of New York. And that's the end of this episode. Please join us next month for another edition of Pediapod. I'm Jeff Marsh. Thanks for listening.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.